Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated July 23rd through July 29th, 2020. We'll start with the article headlined Mini Golf Planned for Monticello by Steve Hoffman, July 29th. A miniature golf course could be added to Monticello offerings at a location just west of the Courthouse Square. Monticello Planning and Zoning Board members on July 20th endorsed an amendment for a conditional use permit for Jerry Sample, the owner of the commercial property at 450 West Main Street, where he's operated Shorin-ryo Doho Academy since 2013. The City Council gave final approval to the amendment on July 27th. Sample plans to put in a 9-hole miniature golf course in a little-used parking lot on his property. "I'd just like to have something for the kids to do outside, and the parking lot is not being used, so we want to put it to good use," said Sample. Parking will be available on the street when needed, as well as a municipal lot to the east. He was also asked if there will be themed holes, such as water features or windmills. "Gotta have a windmill," quipped PZB Chairman Mike Hawkins. Sample responded that there will be a small pond, a traditional windmill, and Illini and Sage-themed holes. Kirby sign approved. The PZB also approved an 8-foot, 3-inch high sign for the Sagewood subdivision on the Kirby Medical Center campus. A variance is needed in order to top 4 feet high in a subdivision. The sign will be on Medical Center Drive and have a similar theme as other Kirby markers. Professional Building is Future Home of MCA by Steve Hoffman, July 28th. After seeing two suitors for its 13,900-square-foot North State Street professional building fall through, Kirby Medical Center has a third, this time a private school. Monticello Christian Academy is negotiating for the purchase of the property at 1109 North State Street, located next to the county-owned Piatt County Office Building and Nursing Home. The Monticello Planning and Zoning Board on July 20th approved a conditional use permit to allow for the school to operate in an area zoned urban residential. The request was given final approval by the City Council on July 27th. MCA school administrator Amber Warmbier said the move from its current location at 225 East Livingston Street would give the school about 4,000 more square feet to work with. "We are excited by the extra square footage we would gain by moving the school to this building and the additional opportunities to serve our community that we would be given in this process," said Warmbier. The school currently offers preschool, pre-kindergarten, and kindergarten programs for an average of 45 students per year. In addition, 50 students take part in before and after school programs that serve preschool through fifth graders. Warmbier said the added space may allow the school to add grade levels and hopes the academy will be operational in the new location by January of 2021. About 18 staff work for the school and before and after school programs. "We are in negotiations with Kirby Medical Center to purchase this building," said Tara Gabarczyk, the attorney for MCA, noting her feeling that it would not impact property values of the area and that parking and traffic flow would not be an issue. "Children will be dropped off and picked up in front of the building, so there will be no traffic jams along State Street," she added. The property comes with 23 parking places dedicated to the building, along with 61 non-exclusive spaces shared by the county. The Piatt County Board was first approached by Kirby late last year to purchase the property for $20,000, but initially voted down the purchase. That vote was reversed at a future meeting, but only after Kirby had rescinded its offer. County Board Chairman Ray Spencer sent an email that was read at the zoning meeting, one which pointed out concerns of traffic, parking, and student safety should MCA purchase the professional building. "The county has concerns about liability issues if children use the green space areas as a playground and get hurt. Therefore, use of the grassy areas by the school would likely be prohibited," said Spencer. The deed includes only the footprint of the building and a 3-foot border around it. An easement allows for ingress, egress to the building, and parking, said Kirby Medical Center CEO Steve Tenhouse. He added that within the perpetual easement is language outlining the professional center owner's shared maintenance responsibilities. My personal opinion is that the county is the logical owner of the Kirby office building, since the county already owns and maintains all the surrounding buildings, parking lots, and green space, said Spencer. By contrast, another county board member, Randy Schumard, felt that ship had sailed. The county deadlocked 3-3 on purchasing the building on February 12th, then voted 4-1 in favor of the buy 15 days later. By that time, however, Kirby had pulled its offer and stated it would not reconsider unless it received joint communication of agreement from the county board and the state's attorney's office. Tenhouse confirmed the county was no longer in the running, and neither was the city of Monticello, which also considered purchasing it after the deal with the county fell through. Since then, we've been working with Monticello Christian Academy. We've been bargaining in good faith with them, and that's our intent, to move forward with that, said Tenhouse. He also did not think parking was a problem, since it was not an issue when 200 employees worked there when it was a hospital, in addition to Carl doctors and patients using the lot. While parking might have been tight, we never ran out of parking, he added. City Community Development Director Joe McFarland said the 23 dedicated parking spaces meet the zoning mandate of one space per 1,000 square feet of building size. That means 14 would meet zoning codes for the professional building. Another county board member, Shannon Carroll, had similar concerns as Spencer. I would express some of the concerns I would have with the parking, maintenance, other aspects of playground-type activities, said Carroll. It sounds like there's going to be further communication with the board on those areas of concern, so I just wanted to voice those concerns from my perspective on the county. When asked about outdoor recreation opportunity for students, Warmbier said that issue is still being worked out. One option would be for students to walk to the Forest Preserve Park for some activities. Audience member Rachel Lejeune spoke in favor of MCA, saying it is a better option, especially considering the county's financial difficulties. Right now, the county is in dire straits, she said. I think to miss an opportunity that benefits Kirby, that benefits Monticello Christian Academy, and benefits this neighborhood, I think it would be a crime to allow that to be stolen from the opinion of one person. I agree with that second letter from Schumard that the time has passed. Cases added to Bi-County COVID total by Steve Hoffman, July 28th. The latest local health department update adds three more positive tests for COVID-19 in Piatt County and adds one more for DeWitt County. Since early April, Piatt County has recorded 33 cases, DeWitt County 25. The latest positive tests in Piatt County? A male living in Monticello, a household contact who became a confirmed case during a quarantine, was reported Sunday, July 26th. He is isolating at home. Two males were reported in Monticello on Monday, July 27th, who were household contacts who became confirmed cases during their quarantine. They are both isolating at home. The new DeWitt County case? A female living in Clinton was reported Sunday. She's isolating at home. Procedure. The DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department Administrator, David Remmert, noted that once someone tests positive, they're asked to isolate for a minimum of 10 days after their onset of symptoms. Once the 10 days have passed and they've been fever-free for at least 24 hours with symptoms resolving, according to the CDC, they are no longer considered infectious. Close contacts quarantine for a minimum of 14 days after their last date of contact with a confirmed case. A person in quarantine cannot test their way out of quarantine, said Remmert. He added that isolation separates sick people with a contagious disease from people who are not sick. Quarantine separates and restricts movement of people who were exposed to a contagious disease to see if they become sick. Pepsin Hill Permits on Hold by Steve Hoffman, July 29th. A townhouse and commercial development for Pepsin Hill has been put on hold by the Monticello City Council amid possible traffic and pedestrian concerns. Council members on Monday, July 27th, failed to waive a first reading for the planned unit development, which includes several permits needed for the proposal put forth by developer Spencer Atkins to proceed. City Council procedure requires two readings at different meetings before action can be taken on an ordinance, unless the second reading is waived. Since the first reading was not waived, the planned unit development will see its second reading and possible council action on August 10th. Derek Brune of Top Flight Grain Company told the council that about 1,500 grain trucks go by Pepsin Hill each fall on their way to the grain storage facilities in Monticello. "Our biggest concern is safety," he said. The Pepsin Hill proposal includes not only 21 townhouses and three commercial retail structures, but a reworking of North Park Street to ease a curve onto Railroad Street, something city officials hope will help traffic flow. Rachel Lejeune of Willow Tree Missions spoke in favor of the townhouses, noting that rentals are currently at a premium in Monticello and average $1,000 per month. Atkins said a walkway included in the proposal was meant to keep pedestrians safe, and added that multifamily housing followed the city's request for a proposal. "We thought we were following the RFP," he said. "The last thing we want to do as an organization is put safety at risk or harm." Voting to waive the first reading were Tammy Sebbins, Pam Harlan, and Rodney Burris. Voting against it were Mary Vogt, Wendell Brock, Mike Kuhn, and John Frericks. Aldermen approved three other zoning requests. One will allow Monticello Christian Academy to operate a private school in the North State Street Professional Building at 1109 North State Street. Another will allow for another use at 450 West Main Street to accommodate a 9-hole miniature golf course. And the other waives height limits and will allow lighting for a sign at Sage Woods on the Kirby Medical Center campus. Lincoln, the great communicator, goes online. July 26th. Friends of Lincoln Trail Homestead State Park and Memorial, along with Looking for Lincoln Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau and Chris Valillo, is proud to announce they will host Lincoln, the Great Communicator, online. This performance will be broadcast on the Friends of Lincoln Trail Homestead and Memorial Facebook page, Looking for Lincoln Facebook page, and YouTube channel, from 7 to 9 p.m. Wednesday, July 29th. The live online performance will combine period music with conversation and narrative by President Lincoln, using Lincoln's own words, while illuminating Lincoln's use of communication as a personal and political tool. This engaging show features Lincoln impersonator George Buss and Illinois folk musician and folklorist Chris Valillo. Each performance will be followed by a Q&A with Buss and Valillo. This performance provides an engaging way for visitors to learn more about Abraham Lincoln and the work of Looking for Lincoln and the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area in telling that story, said Executive Director Sarah Watson. "This is a collaborative project involving Looking for Lincoln, Chris Valillo, George Buss, and key partners in the 7 Looking for Lincoln communities. This theatrical-style performance is presented as a casual conversation between President Lincoln and Valillo, discussing Lincoln's gifts as a communicator and the way he used those skills for the betterment of mankind throughout his lifetime. In the midst of the conversation, Valillo will perform period music on guitar, bottleneck slide dobro, banjo, and jaw harp to illustrate Lincoln's point, and the president will quote passages from some of his favorite speeches. Lincoln lived in a time when the power of mass communication was just beginning to come of age, and his mastery of those skills would play a large role in his ultimate success as a leader. Traditional means of mass communication, like books and popular music, would be augmented by the rise of the Industrial Revolution, steam-powered printing presses, the telegraph, photography, and improved transportation systems like steamboats and railroads. This online series is part of a greater slate of programming entitled Looking for Lincoln Conversations, which will run through 2020. Presentations will feature a variety of topics surrounding the life and times of Abraham Lincoln, including performances of celebrated music, reenactments of historical events, interpretation of historic people, and much more. During the COVID-19 event, Looking for Lincoln has been proactively moving its programming online to make it accessible to a wide audience throughout Illinois and the world. The performances will be free to view and broadcast on social media platforms. Obituaries. Peter August Mazarok, 77 of Monticello, passed away July 26th at his residence. A private family service will be held. Memorials may be made to Grace Lutheran Church or the Monticello Area Education Foundation. Terry L. Dubson, 66 of Monticello, passed away July 24th at his residence. A graveside funeral service will be held 11 a.m. Wednesday, July 29th, at the Monticello Township Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Piatt County Animal Shelter. Frances Ann Lust, 83 of Bement, passed away on Thursday, July 23rd, at the Bement Healthcare Center. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the family is graciously abiding with the suggestions set forth. Private family services will be at the First Christian Church of Bement. Burial will be in the Bement Township Cemetery. Memorial contributions can be made to the Bement Food Pantry in care of the First Christian Church of Bement. Former players return to coach by Jason Brown, PCJR correspondent, July 28th. Countless ingredients go into putting together a successful basketball season, let alone a successful program. Monticello basketball coach Kevin Roy, whose teams have won regional titles in the last 5 out of 7 seasons and a trip to state, contributes one of those special ingredients to quality coaching throughout the program, including the junior high coach. We've got good coaches that really volunteer down at the 4th and 5th and 6th grade travel teams, Roy said. And Mike Stokowski has been at the junior high level about as long as I've been at Monticello. Another ingredient to that success included having former Monticello players return to coach for the Sages. I've been fortunate to have former players come and be assistant coaches for me, Roy said. They just carry so much more pride and enthusiasm and excitement for the program after they've experienced this. I've been blessed to have great guys around me at each level, freshman and JV and down to middle school. Those players include Luke Mary, Nick Stokowski, and Kevin Feeney. Luke Mary. Former Sage basketball player Luke Mary has been coaching the Monticello freshman team since 2014. The 2007 graduate was one of the first players in Roy's coaching system. In Roy's first year as head coach, 2006-07 season, the Sages won a sectional title and finished with an overall record of 28-5, and Mary was a big part of that run. To get the freshman coaching position, Mary moved back to the area and was living with Kevin Feeney, who was also on the 2006-07 team, when they met up with their former head coach for dinner and chatted about basketball. Kevin had already started helping in the summer, Mary said. Then Roy asked me if I wanted to come along and coach freshmen because that worked out with my schedule, because I could do it later in the evening. After coaching the freshman team for 6 years, Mary took a year off. Now, he is back for this season to coach the Sages JV squad. It's the opportunity to be with Roy again and to be with the guys again, said Mary, who was a project manager at Pella Windows and Doors of Champaign. The year off was nice, and I was traveling some for work and had some different opportunities. But then, once Andrew Turner took the job at St. Thomas More, Roy and I talked a couple of times, and he asked if it would work out with my schedule. And part of it being how weird everything is right now with the COVID situation, it works out pretty well. Mary believes having former players coaching in the program adds continuity that other programs may not be able to achieve. Really, Monticello is just a nice place to coach, Mary said. They're talented kids, and they are also well-behaved. They've got really good parents, so you don't have to deal with attitude as much. Talking to other coaches around the area, that is not always the case. It's a lot of stress, but a lot less stressful than a lot of other places if you look around the Champaign area. Of course, Mary and Roy's relationship has evolved over the years, and now is closer to friends than a player and understudy. When you're a player, you can't really be the coach's friend, he said. That's not a great way to try to do it. But now, we'll go out for dinner. And we got group threads talking about the last games and other basketball, so that part grew more. One of the aspects Mary did know as a player about Roy was Roy's dry sense of humor. When he's coaching, you don't see it quite as much, Mary said. But once you become friends with him and you're on the staff with him as a coach, you get to see that side of him a lot. Mary remembers Roy as a hands-off coach because the 2006-07 team was talented and disciplined. He coached us, but he let off a lot with what we were doing as long as we were paying attention and locked in, Mary said. We didn't call that many plays and didn't make that many adjustments just because we saw the game, and we had really high IQ players on the team. Mary was a pass-first point guard, which Roy really liked. Even now, Roy and the coaches always use the phrase, "You're a point guard, but not a points guard." His senior year team had good shooters and a post who shot it well, so Mary's best games were when he contributed 10 to 12 assists and did not worry about getting 20 points. We basically ran a motion offense, and we played man-to-man defense, he said. That's what we were taught when we were young, and we were good enough that we didn't have to adjust. We had some really good shooters and playmakers, and I think Roy just kind of let us play. That was really fun, and we won a lot of games, so that helped. Not much has changed as far as playing man-to-man defense and running a motion offense as the team's calling card. We're not looking to get some kid 30 points, Mary said. It's just moving the ball and seeing who's open. One of his best memories as a coach was winning the sectional title for a trip to state. One of his favorite memories as a player was beating Maroa on senior night when Maroa was undefeated and ranked number one in the state. That whole season was such a blast, he said. We had such a fun group. And the year before, I think we had about a 500 team, 14-14. And we really exploded that next year. That year, it just came together and clicked. Nick Stokowski. Last year, the 7th grade boys basketball position was available, and 2014 Monticello graduate Nick Stokowski thought it would be a good opportunity for him to get back involved with basketball. Nick, who works for Monticello High School in the Special Education Department, played for Roy during the 2012-2013 and 2013-14 seasons. While playing in high school, Nick understands the difference between good and bad seasons. Nick was part of Roy's 2012-13 team that went 23-6 and won a regional title. He was also part of the 2013-14 team that posted Roy's worst career season record, 13-14 at Monticello. As seventh grade coach, Nick enjoys focusing on fundamentals for players who are developing into young men. The middle school transition from 6th to 7th and 7th to 8th grade is a very unique time as far as growth physically and development, he said. To be a part of the beginning of the development of school basketball is a cool experience for me. Nick describes himself as a high school player who tried to get the most out of his teammates by bringing a competitive edge every day, as well as somebody who took pride in getting rebounds and not turning the ball over. Nick believes one important part of Roy's success is Roy's ability to communicate. His most exciting memory as a player was in the 2012-2013 season when the Sages won the regional championship. His best memory as a coach was last year when the 8th grade team made its run into the state tournament. Watching a team turn it up a notch and beat teams simply by working harder than all of them was awesome to watch as a coach, he said. Luke Stokowski. Luke Stokowski, a 2018 Monticello graduate, has not yet graduated from Eastern Illinois University, where he's pursuing a career in physical education and health, but has already returned to help Mike and Nick with the middle school players. Mike, his father, asked Luke if he would join the middle school coaches as a volunteer in 2018-19 season, and Luke jumped at the opportunity. "I came back to coach because it gives me the opportunity to teach the kids a sport that I love and make them better at it," he said. "It is a very rewarding job. I believe that coming back to the program and teaching some drills I was taught in high school will only make the kids better and ready for what is next to come." During Luke's junior and senior year in high school, the Sages basketball team was 48-9 and made a trip to the Final Four. "In high school, I was the type of player that would work hard on defense and take a bunch of charges to get the crowd into the game," he said. "I was also a strong rebounder. On offense, I would say I was very unselfish and just tried to do the best for the team to come out with a win." Luke said he has always had a good relationship with Roy, but joked the only difference now is that Roy can't put him on the line and run him. Both of Luke's most exciting memories as a coach and a player include playoff runs to the state tournament. "The most exciting memory of me playing would be beating Quincy Notre Dame in the super sectional my junior year in high school," he said. "It is the most amazing memory." Like his brother Luke, his favorite coaching memory is of the eighth grade team making it to state last year. "The best memory was beating Lincoln Junior High in the first round and setting us up for one of the top four teams in the state," he said. "The boys won that game with hard work. It was fun to watch them." The middle school is scheduled to kick off its season hosting the Sages basketball tournament November 5th. The high school varsity team is scheduled to host Pleasant Plains November 24th. I-72 to be rebuilt from Piatt County to Argenta by Steve Hoffman, July 24th. About $42 million of road work on Interstate 72 on both sides of Monticello is in the recently approved state transportation plan for 2020-21. It includes nearly $29 million for a total rebuild of the interstate for about 5 miles from Piatt County to the Argenta exit. Work will likely not begin until next spring. The project includes not only a new base, but bridge and ramp work as well. There's also $14 million of work planned for Interstate 72 for 11 miles from Whiteheath to Interstate 57, also in this fiscal year. That project was already in the state's 5-year plan. Illinois Senator Chapin Rose, Republican of Mahomet, said one caveat is that bids must come in on budget in order to proceed. Well, that's all we have time for today. This has been Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated July 23rd through July 29th, 2020. Please stay healthy. I look forward to reading with you again soon.